whenever I get an order that comes in and I see that it's from a customer name I do not know. So I just had one, a good example would be a lady in Aberdeen ordered this morning, a lovely top. So I rang her and I just say, I just wanted to let you know, you're speaking to the owner. It's lovely to have your order. Thank you for that. Can I help you with anything to do with sizing? Can I talk to you at all about, you know, the item you've bought just to check you've got the right colorway? She feels that she has had a quasi bespoke experience that would emulate what would happen if she came into my shop.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. A short intro this time. I just want to say thanks to past guest Janice Thomas for another great guest introduction. So thank you, Janice. And in this episode, we are talking to a smaller than usual business, but you'll understand why as you get into the episode. We're talking to someone running a women's fashion boutique with a bricks store and a clicks store, so online and offline. And she's going to be sharing how she's going about building the brand and the customer experience into everything they're doing across both channels. As is often the case, there are some amazing tips coming up, especially the traffic top tip when we get to that section of the interview. So make sure you listen right to the end so you don't miss out on any of it. And now to introduce our special guest. Hilary Large is the owner at Wardrobe at the Cross, a women's fashion boutique. Launched in 2023, they sell via their physical high street store and via their Shopify website and have already built to hundreds of orders a week. Hello, Hill.
Hey there, Chloe. How are you?
I'm good. Really excited to get to talk to you because I think, I mean, slight spoiler alert people here, but I always think that the smaller businesses can teach so much to the bigger businesses. And I don't think that's anywhere more so than in the bricks and clicks space. So it's very, very cool to have you on the show. How did you get into this world of e-commerce? What on earth led you to start a bricks and clicks women's fashion boutique in 2023?
So I've worked in the world of e-com and digital since really the inception of e-com and digital. So my background is firmly in the women's fashion space. I've done a lot of that kind of thing. I've worked in brick and mortar. I've worked in businesses where digital was nascent. So started my career with the Kingfisher Group on a graduate training scheme when that group owned B&Q and Superdrug and Woolworths and all of that. And we were right, we're talking 1999, 2000, right back at the beginning of e-commerce when websites were but a lad, you know, and these were tiny websites strung together with bits of string, but we were just working out how to generate online orders. Very interesting times. Actually did a lot of picking and packing for Superdrug's first ever website, which was hilarious, in the bowels of their store in Croydon. Then I went from there and I worked at the Very Group for a really long time. And actually, that was really important to me. And that is a group that is built on the background of direct mail and massive, massive catalog mailings, huge amounts of data. Data is the machine in that business. And that taught me so much. And again, I worked there from sort of 2005 through till about 2011. And it felt like a lot longer. But again, growing the website as kind of the internet and digital grew. You know, this is before social was an important part of the ecosystem or any part of the ecosystem. This was when email marketing and newsletter marketing was just not even really something that we thought about, but hugely important to me to learn about those, the kind of the way those businesses worked, what data could mean in an e-commerce business. And then from there, so I would say those were two really important experiences. But from there, I've done stints as marketing director of a number of different either pure play e-commerce businesses or businesses that have had brick and mortar and e-com. And I've led marketing teams. But I always knew, and I'm 49 for transparency, so I always knew that about this point in my life, I would do it myself. I got to a point where I thought, you know what, Hill, you've done this for lots of other people. You've enjoyed it. You've learned tons. But it's great to do this for yourself. And I am intensely interested in sustainable fashion, intensely interested in women's wear and how wearing the right armor, and I use that word advisedly, can radically alter the way you feel about yourself and your presentation of self. And that is what we do here.
Very cool. So it was kind of like, this wasn't a moment of realization, sod it, I'm going to open my own fashion boutique. It was something you've been planning or having in your vision for decades.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, nobody ever used to talk about vision boards, did they? And I've never had a vision board, Chloe. But I've always had something in my head which said, Hill, you understand women's fashion and you also understand e-commerce and customer service and sustainable fashion, although again, that's a new part of our lexicon or relatively new. And why wouldn't you do this? This is kind of the bringing together of so many different strands of who I am, actually, as a person. So this place, and I do, is my happy place. I'm sat here in the office at the back of my store. I've got my warehouse on one side and the actual brick and mortar store to the other side. My sense is this is where it was all coming towards. And I always knew that that was the case. I always knew there would be one day when I sat my husband down and said, right, it's now. I've found the premises. I know where I want to be. I've got a warehouse. The brands are lined up. Let's do this.
So why was it always, was it always going to be bricks and clicks?
I always knew from being a very little girl that I loved shops, as in brick and mortar shops before e-com. I loved going to the shops. I loved the experience with my grandma. So my father's mum, she was born in 1915, but by the time she was 30, she was the head corsetier and tailoress at Harvey Nichols in Knightsbridge.
Wow.
And we both loved shops. It missed a generation. My dad and mum could not be less interested. But I was raised at the knee of a grandma who read Vogue and was deeply interested in women's fashion, in bespoke fashion. And she would walk me round Harrods and Harvey Nichols, where she worked, and would show me things. And I would learn about customer service and beautiful stores and how you could turn a customer from browsing and watching her behavior into someone who you could help and support, and that would convert to purchase. So for me, that was important. I'm deeply personal in the way I behave, and that is reflected in the store. And then the other point is, many of the brands I want to stock will only come to me if I have a brick and mortar presence. So I stock tons of Scandinavian brands. The only way to have that business is if you have a brick and mortar store. They, quite understandably, they can have their own B2C websites. They do, actually. I'm happy to say that I rank above them from an SEO point of view, because I've worked quite a lot on that. But they have their own B2C sites, but they want reach and brand recognition in the UK. So that's how they get it, by being in physical stores here to get their brand footprints known. So that's the why, really. But I absolutely love being shop girl, and I only get to do it rarely now. I try and do it at least for 4 hours on a Friday, and I love every second of it. I love it. And I sort of give myself little goals while I do it of, you know, make sure you get the data, get the email address, make sure, you know, those little, you know, are they following you on all your social channels? Check, throw it into conversation. And I set myself these little goals during the day when I do my little stints.
Now, a lot of people starting the business that you've started would have taken on kind of like I'm going to do it all until we reach a certain point. But it sounds like you've already started building quite the team around yourself, and you're taking, dare one say it, a more intelligent perspective on, you know, the manpower it will take to grow the business. So what does your team look like? Who have you got and what are they doing?
So I have a great team. They consist of my very dear friend, Sue. So Sue Byrne runs the store on a Wednesday, Thursday and Saturday. She also does a live with me at least once a week. She's a trained stylist. I've known her for 25 years. She's 10 years older than me, and she is better than me. She's better than anybody at customer service. She's the doyenne of customer service. Her customers love her. They come to her. They know her by name. And she comes by, she makes the buying decisions with me because she knows the base just as well as I do. She's just absolutely the best. Recently, we've also added Val to our team, who is literally there through this door. She may well hear what I'm saying. So Val used to work for a brick and mortar business called East Clothing. You may remember that chain store faltered somewhat, but Val was their visual merchandising manager, and is what Val can't do with a color story, one does not want to do. I throw her curveballs all the time because I'll say to her, and she's just been irritated by me because I've just gone, these coats, we need to get these coats out now. The weather's going to change. And she's just looked at me and gone, oh, Hill, what am I going to do with this? This isn't the colorway that I planned. This isn't the textural narrative that I wanted. But she's out there now messing with the mannequins in the window and will do a brilliant job. And she's only been with us about 8 weeks, but she has upped the ante from a look and feel point of view to an untold degree. I then have my lovely husband, Graham, who does all my web admin and all of my admin generally. He has other businesses, but because he loves spreadsheets and really dislikes most human beings, he's very happy to sit in his office and do all of that side of things. He's now very competent on WooCommerce WordPress, which is the old ecosystem. And then I also have my two daughters who are 17 and 14, and they are employees 4 and 5 because they appear in my socials. So, and Katie's almost, that my eldest is almost also trained to do some web admin as well. Those are the team. But I've chosen that again because I know that my skills are not best deployed on doing admin. I'm terrible at it. My attention to detail is not good enough. Equally, I shouldn't be on the shop floor all the time. It's not a productive use of my time. I should be building the business.
So you are in a space in retail, in its widest sense, in commerce, I suppose, in its widest sense, where many businesses are struggling to work out. We know retail needs to be experiential. You've talked a lot about the experience already and how much effort you're putting into the real world experience. But then how do we mirror that in an online space? And so many brands struggle with this. You're in the lucky situation of starting with both from the very beginning and with huge amounts of experience as well. So have you tried to replicate the experience you get in store online? Are you seeing the online as a way of converting in-store customers to buy more? Are they two different? How do you approach that cohesiveness between the channels?
So I had a bit of a, this is where I did have a bit of a sort of an epiphany moment. So I've been in all the while, I've had a website right from the beginning, and it did okay right from the beginning because I'm sensible and I know kind of about optimizing for search and those kind of things. And it was a well-ordered website. So it was always fast and it could convert and all of that, the basics. But I had a bit of a sort of a Damascene moment where a customer clearly wanted to order something and she rang me. This is going back about 2 years and she's maybe a year and a half. And she said, hello, and explained, you know, I want to make this order. I've seen some jeans, but I just wanted to check, are you a real business? Because, you know, you see so many of these businesses and they end up just being dodgy Chinese businesses and where you've got to send things back to China or, you know, they're not bona fide. And I said, oh, no, absolutely. You'll see me on the Instagram. I'm the face of the business and you're speaking to the owner. And, you know, and she said, oh, that's so good to know. She said, I'll make the order now. And I came away from that and I thought, well, that is interesting. There's a trust issue here. And there's also I need to signal that I'm a bona fide business and that you get a personal experience. And that is what will aid conversion. So I thought to myself, okay, how can I make that happen for every order, every new customer order, I should say. So now, whenever I get an order that comes in and I see that it's from a customer name I do not know. So I just had one, a good example would be a lady in, she's up in Aberdeen, ordered this morning, a lovely top. And so I rang her and I said, I'm really sorry to disturb your morning. I always make sure the customer has time to take the call. I explain who I am. And I just say, I just wanted to let you know, you're speaking to the owner. It's lovely to have your order. Thank you for that. Can I help you with anything to do with sizing? Can I talk to you at all about, you know, the item you've bought just to check you've got the right colorway? How do you want it shipped? I see you've selected standard shipping. When do you need it? And I end up having maybe, I don't know, 7-minute call with that customer. But by the end of that call, what I know is that that customer A is going to be sent the right item. B is not going to have overordered. So perhaps on the original order, she's put two pairs of jeans in two different sizes. I can confidently advise her and say, I see you've ordered both the 38 and the 40 in those jeans. Let's discuss that fit a little bit because I know exactly how those jeans fit. And that means that I keep the product and also that I don't, so I can, the availability is maximized for me from an e-commerce point of view and my returns rate is minimized because I know it's not going to come back to me. That's great. But she feels that she has had a quasi bespoke experience that would emulate what would happen if she came into my shop. So what would happen if she came into my shop? She would be greeted in the same way. Hello, you're new here. How can I help? How can I help you with sizing? And that experience, I try to emulate on the telephone. And if I can't telephone her, then I will email. I'll probably always do that anyway, unless I think it's overkill. But it will be a bespoke email. It's scripted by me with a bit of heavy lifting from AI. So I'll use a lot of AI prompts, but I always check everything. And it will make sure that she feels that she has had the bespoke wardrobe at the cross experience. And all of the signals from my website, again, reviews, I've got 125-star Google reviews. If she reads those, they all point to the fact that you will get a phone call, that you will get a personalized experience. And again, that is super important to me because that differentiates me and it makes that customer feel like she's almost been in the shop.
It's a big investment in, you know, founder time to do that, both the email part and the call part. You mentioned that you've, you know, you limit it to someone's first ever purchase with you. They're not going to get this on purchase number 10, which makes total sense. Have you yet thought through how you will do this as the business continues to grow? You know, because even now with hundreds of orders a week, that's quite a lot.
But well, it is, although my retention rate is very, very high. So I'm really lucky because I've invested in this first time acquisition piece. My retention rate's really good. And as you would expect, I've got all my flows set up with Enclavio. So any of those things around, you know, I'm doing a really strong welcome series, a really strong nurture series, a really strong gone away series, all of that stuff. So my retention rate is pretty strong, albeit on a small base, but I would say my retention rate is so many of those orders, of those hundreds of orders a week, I would say probably 60%, maybe 65% off from existing customers. So that's really strong. And I do use Meta. I am using Meta advertising to generate first time acquisition. And you're right, as that scales, that's going to become harder. But I've got some ideas for how that I can handle that. I already work alongside a VA who supports me with some of this stuff and helps me pull the data together before I make the call. So I'm not scrambling around. And also, being perfectly honest, again, it's something that my children can support me in. So my 17-year-old is brilliant at it. I've watched her do it. So I'll give her 4 phone numbers and I'll say, right, you need to sit, put your headphones on. You're calling these 4 numbers. You're saying, I work for the business. I'm Hillary's daughter. How can I help? And she knows the stock almost as well as I do. Again, these things will become less replicable as we grow. But I do think it's important. And I think that we've got to protect that because that differentiates us.
Yes, it's that interesting angle of, you know, you often, and I'm sure you've heard of it because you've got a lot of experience similar to me, is that you'll hear of a business who they were doing something great in the early days and they let it drop for efficiency gains and suffer until someone goes, how do we redo it? And you can never redo it as well, can you?
I've seen it so many times, Chloe, you're so right, where I've worked in a business, typically I've worked in a lot of businesses where they get to sort of, I don't know, 10, 15 million pound turnover. They take some external investment. External investors say, right, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, you know, private equity or whatever, because it's either, you know, we can't attach an ROI to it. So it gets cold. It's seen as not important. And then suddenly everybody at the board table, and I've sat on a few, is looking at the P&L going, what's happened here? And those wonderful things that owner founder did to get it to 10, 12, 15 million turn have gone. And that's what I have to protect. And look, I don't know what the future is of this business. I've got very strong plans, but I want that to be protected at all costs. And I will absolutely pay people to do things I think they can do whilst I do the things that I know I can do well, like those first time calls.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Hill, are you ready for the top tips?
I am indeed.
Excellent. Let's start with the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I would recommend The Brand Gap by Marty Neumeier. It's incredibly short, so you'll get through it very quickly. It's not fluffy. It's not, you know, it's not waffly, but it's really good strategic thinking about what a brand is and how to make yours different. It's just really good for that. It's a, you know, there's not much about data in it. It's about brand. And that is what I love. That to me is what makes me tick.
Love that. We like a short read. Everybody likes a short read. Okay, traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So I'm going to go with, I've got a few of this, but I'm just going to go with the press it doesn't deserve, because this is a great tip for people with particularly who have, this is for bricks and clicks businesses. Do things in your community that you think will not generate business because they will. So for example, I did a talk last Thursday to the WI in Heswall, which is about 3 miles away. They're all my customers. They're middle-class women above the age of 55, classic me customers. There were 90 of them in the room. I did a talk on style, personalities and sustainable fashion. All of those women, I took a QR code with me. They all scanned my QR code. I took their data. They're now all on my base, and they're all having a good old look at the website. So has it led to any conversions? I think I gave them all a code, obviously, to track that business. I've got about 6 conversions out of it now. But again, a room full of 90 women who are absolutely bullseye target audience. And you'd never think that, would you? Go and do a WI talk. But believe me, I've done 7 of them now, and they've all been really, really worth doing.
That's the good thing about WI talks as well, isn't it? Once you've done well at one, they all tell each other, and then you get to go to loads of them.
Exactly that. So literally, they keep telling each other. So I'm booked with another one in about 3 weeks. I change it up each time. So I'm not, because some of them are members of like 3 and 4 WIs. So this one will be a bit different again, but I do a lot around style, personality, fashion, sustainable fashion. They love it. And it's a great way of collecting data in a soft way, and also generating footfall brick into the bricks bit of the business, but also generating clicks.
Love that. And it fits so well with all the insights you've given us to the branding, you know, the brand and the feel and the vibe of the business too. So I love that piece of advice. Okay, tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
It's really boring. I'm so sorry. It's WhatsApp. It's really boring. I have a WhatsApp chat for the team. We call it the Wardrobe at the Cross crack team. We're called the crack squad. And Val, Sue, my husband, me and the girls are on it. And also one of my temporary staff, Waisan, is on it. And it's just making sure that we've covered everything. So if Waisan's done a shift and she hadn't expected to, and she's been in on a Friday afternoon, she drops it in the WhatsApp to make sure that when Sue's in on a Saturday morning, Sue knows that so-and-so has been in and wants so-and-so. And she, you know, it's really boring, but it really, really works. And is it auditable? Can you go back and search it very well? No, but it's great in terms of, because I could use something that's a bit more techie. You know, I use things myself like Monday and Asana, but my store team wouldn't work for them. I don't think, you know, Val and Waisan, who are lovely, they're not digitally savvy, not that I expect them to be. Why would I want them to learn up on Asana when actually WhatsApp's working for us? So sadly, it's quite boring, quite pedestrian.
But it doesn't matter if it's pedestrian, if it works. I mean, it's so often people put in like the most complex tool in the world to solve a simple problem. And if a WhatsApp chain is what's needed.
It just works, and we can share humor on it. And but most of all, it's just like, you know, oh, Sylvia came in, she's ordered these things. She doesn't want to collect them today. She bought this instead. So-and-so, and I've left it in your office, Hill. As simple as that. And then I'm literally like, oh, right, that makes sense.
Simple as that. Okay, carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Massively important to me because I sell sustainable brands and sustainable fashion. So we're always working on this. I am my local plastic waste champion, actually, here in Neston, which is quite sad, quite the claim, but it's really important to me. So I make sure that we all bring in reusable bottles. We don't throw away single-use plastics at all. That's just our own behaviour as employees and members of the team. We make sure that we use our own bottles and we fill up from the water there. But also from a point of view of my e-commerce store, I insist if suppliers don't do it, I insist they send the garments in recyclable or preferentially compostable packaging. I've even said, I'll send it to you or I'll get it to you by hook or by crook, but I don't want you sending me loads and loads and loads and loads of plastic. Now, there are two suppliers at the moment who are not bending to my will because they're too big.
That's very cool. Getting them to change, and then maybe they'll change for everybody.
They
huge.
May or they may not, but actually I think, you know, Hill, you've done your bit there. And, you know, and I take, so interestingly, my store is on the cusp of Cheshire and Wirral. Wirral are far better at recycling than Cheshire. Bizarre postcode issue, postcode lottery issue. So I take as much of my recycling home with me because then I can recycle it in a place where I know their facilities for recycling. So my home postcode, which is a Wirral postcode, my store is technically Cheshire. My home is only 2.5 miles away, but technically Wirral. They recycle far better. So I take as much of my recyclable waste actually to my domestic, to my own home with me.
Very cool. Loving those tips. So, Hill, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
So, yes, I would love for listeners to have a look and share their thoughts. So I'm on the, my website is www.wardrobeatthecross, which is all one word, spelt C-R-O-S-S at the end. And I'm on a .co.uk URL. And I'm also, you can use that if you type that as a handle into, you can get me on TikTok, although that's a very nascent account. I'm prolific on Instagram and also Facebook, where I have to be honest, far more comfortable. And also I have a little YouTube channel as well. Again, rather nascent, but I am building it up to do long form content there. So yes, that's how you come to me. Or indeed visit the store if you're local and you're around. Come and drop me a DM and come and have a look in the brick and mortar.
Very cool. And despite running all this with Wardrobe at the Cross, you also spend a couple of days a week helping other brands through your consultancy to evolve their digital and e-commerce activities. So if anyone's interested in getting your help in their business, tell us a bit more about it and how do they get in contact with you?
So get in contact with me via LinkedIn. So if you look Hillary Large, there aren't many of us on LinkedIn, you'll find me. And I come under Chan.marketing. So that's Chandott marketing. If you Google that, you'll only find a placeholder. So best to find me on LinkedIn. But basically, what I do is I go into businesses, typically SMEs. I don't do much in the big corporate world anymore. And I offer support where there is perhaps not enough expertise. So at the moment, I'm doing a piece of work for a client who is in the B2B wholesale space. It's the garment industry, it's apparel, but it's about digital transformation of that business. And it's great fun. And I love working as well with owner managers who have a problem that I can help to solve. That gives me all the feels because it makes me think, do you know, actually I've really come away from that day and I know I've moved us forward. And that's a really good thing for me. And it keeps my knowledge fresh as well, which is another benefit.
Yeah, it's always great to go and work on someone else's activity because you find things you don't know even when you're there to help them with stuff. So anyone who wants Hillary's help, go and find Hillary Large on LinkedIn and get in contact. Hill, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been really fascinating seeing how you're bringing that brilliant customer experience across all your channels. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
what an exciting business Hill is building there. She really knows her customer base and she's listening to them as she evolves the business to find ways to make them happier, better retained, and so on and so forth. I love that tip about getting out and doing talks for the WI. I mean, what a great move when that's your customer base. And I would have thought that was kind of like a physical retail play, but she's getting the conversions coming through on the website too. So how cool is that? It works on both channels. And the focus on improving that experience for the online customers and trying to replicate some of what they get in the physical store by calling them and emailing them in a personal way post first purchase. Such a nerve-wracking time for customers when they put that first purchase in with you. So anything that works to help them feel more confident, more comfortable in that purchase sounds good by me. And the fact she's managing to get it to improve her returns rates, genius. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can use our direct episode short link to get there too. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar to go right to the correct page of the site. When you get to the website, don't forget to add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on all the stuff we share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then you can check out all our fashion episodes on the website via ecmp.info/fashion. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new episode every week because I want to inspire and help you to succeed and thrive with your business, including progressing along that all-important path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.